Journey to Greece, Acts 15:34 to 17:14. After a number of days in Syrian Antioch, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back to all the communities of Jesus that we helped form on our missionary journey to see how the brothers are holding up." Barnabas wanted to take the gospel writer John Mark with them, but Paul did not want to because John Mark had left them before they got to Galatia and had not been there when they helped form the communities there. This disagreement was so great that Barnabas and Paul decided to separate from each other. So Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to the island of Cyprus. In the fall of 50 AD, Paul took Silas with him and headed out after being given the Lord's blessing by the brothers in Syrian Antioch. Paul and Silas began heading north and then west into Asia Minor through Paul's homeland. Along the way, they were helping the communities of Jesus stand firm in their faithfulness. When they arrived in the Galatian cities of Derbe and Lystra, they found a young apprentice named Timothy. Timothy's mom was an Israelite follower of Jesus, while his dad was Greek. The apprentices in Galatia marveled at the faith of Timothy. Seeing this, Paul took Timothy under his wing to further train him in the way of Jesus. But because all the Israelites knew the heritage of Timothy's mom, Paul followed Israelite tradition and circumcised Timothy. In all the cities they traveled through, Paul and Silas shared the representative's command about staying unpolluted by Roman culture. All the communities of Jesus they visited were growing, both in their faithfulness to Jesus and in size. Finding closed doors to the word of Jesus in the western part of Asia Minor, the Creator Spirit drove Paul, Silas, and Timothy north from Galatia. But in the north, the doors also closed to their message, and so the Spirit of Jesus pushed them onward. They headed west to the city of Troas on the far northwestern coast of Asia Minor. While they were there, Paul had a dream one night of a man from the northeastern part of Greece saying to him, "Come to the province of Macedonia to help us." On the next day, I, your narrator, joined Paul's group, and we immediately began figuring out how to get to the province of Macedonia. We were convinced that the Creator was calling us to declare the gospel of Jesus to them. So we left Troas for the island of Samothrace, and then sailed northwest to the city of Neapolis. From there, we went to the city of Philippi, which was a Roman colony and the heart of Roman culture in that part of the province of Macedonia. We began staying there for some time. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city and went down to the river, where we thought we could find a gathering place for prayer. Finding what we were looking for, we sat down and began speaking to the women who had gathered. A woman named Lydia, who was fearing the Creator and was a wealthy dealer of luxurious purple cloth, began listening to the way of Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to this message from Paul, so she and her household were baptized into Jesus' story, and they radically transformed their lives. Lydia then urged the apprentices, saying, "If you determine that I am now living by trust in the Lord Jesus, come stay at my house. We are now family, and all my things are your things." She convinced us, and we accepted her hospitality. One day, as we were leaving the city to gather at the river for prayer, we encountered a young slave girl who had the power to see the truth of people's lives. Her owners were running a business and were getting very rich by using and exploiting this power of hers. She began following us around and shouting, "These people are servants of the Lord of all creation. They are announcing to you a way of liberation." She did this for many days. Finally irritated, Paul turned around and said to the spiritual power controlling her, "I command you in the name of Jesus, the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth, to leave this girl alone." And in that moment, the girl was set free. When her owners saw their way of making money disappear, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers of the city. The police officers were brought in and they said, "These people devoted to the Jerusalem temple are disturbing our city. They are living and teaching a way of life that goes against and undermines the most basic values of being a Roman." The crowd was furious. So the police officers ripped off Paul's and Silas's clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After severely beating them, they threw Paul and Silas into prison, directing the prison guards to watch them very closely. Receiving these orders, the prison guards put them under the tightest possible guard and locked up their ankles in a block of wood. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to the Creator while the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. Immediately, all the prison doors were opened and all the restraints came undone. Waking up and seeing the prison doors wide open, the prison guard drew his sword. He was going to kill himself rather than be executed by the Roman Empire for letting all the prisoners escape. But Paul shouted to him, saying, "Do not kill yourself! We are still here!" Calling for a lantern, the prison guard rushed in and fell before Paul and Silas, trembling. Bringing them out of their prison cell into his home, the prison guard asked the prisoners, "What must I do to be liberated and saved from my meaningless life as a Roman prison guard?" They said, "Live by faith in Jesus as the true Lord, and then you and your household will experience true freedom and liberation." So Paul and Silas taught him the way of the Lord Jesus, along with all those in his household. The prison guard responded by washing their wounds. Then the prison guard and all his family were baptized into a new life of obedience to Jesus as the only Lord. Following this, they entered the house, and the prison guard prepared a meal for them while rejoicing in his newfound trust in the Creator. When it became day, the police captain sent some officers to the prison, saying, "Release those men." The prison guard reported these words to Paul and Silas, who were now back in their prison cell. He said, "The police captains have decided to release you. Get out of here while you can." Paul responded, "So they whipped and beat Roman citizens without a fair trial, then threw us in prison, and now they are wanting to secretly get rid of us? No way. We are staying in prison until they humble themselves and come here to personally let us out." The police officers reported all this to the police captains, who became terrified of the possibility of being severely punished for mistreating Roman citizens. So the police captains personally went to Paul and Silas and begged them to leave the city. Paul and Silas honored their request, and after seeing Lydia and the other apprentices, they left Philippi while I remained behind. Heading west, Paul and Silas came to the city of Thessalonica, where they found a synagogue. According to his pattern, Paul gathered with the Israelites in the synagogue. Over the course of 3 Sabbaths, he taught them from the Scriptures. He was trying to persuade them, saying, "It was necessary for the chosen ruler of the earth to suffer and then be raised from the dead. And this Jesus I am teaching you about is the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth." Some Israelites and a large number of creator-fearing Greeks, including some high-status women, were persuaded by this and began following the way of Jesus. Becoming jealous of these conversions, a group of those devoted to the Jerusalem temple hired some evil men to incite a mob and turn the city against Jesus. They went to the house of Jason, where Paul and Silas were staying, hoping to drag them to the apprentices. When they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other apprentices to the city leaders, crying out, "The followers of Jesus who are revolting against civilization itself are now in our city. This Jason welcomed them and housed them in his home. They are disobeying all the Roman emperor's commands and are saying that this Jesus is the only true ruler." This news deeply agitated and disturbed the crowd and the city leaders. So they heavily fined Jason and the other apprentices before releasing them. That night, Paul and Silas snuck out of the city and headed to Berea. When Paul and Silas got to Berea, they went to the Israelite synagogue. These Israelites in Berea were much more receptive than those in Thessalonica. They passionately listened to the word of Jesus and spent time every day studying the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Many of them, along with a considerable number of Greek women and men of high class, radically changed their lives in order to live by trust in the way of Jesus. When the unfaithful Israelites from Thessalonica heard that the way of Jesus was being taught in Berea, they traveled there and started turning the crowds against Paul. Paul was forced to escape town on a boat, while Silas and Timothy were able to stay behind.